Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pop Rocks Radio. I'm your host, Jamie Rocks, and this is part two of our show tonight featuring our very special guest. We've kidnapped her and just won't let her go, Denis Bonnet.
I don't want to go. I want to stay right here.
I'm so glad we did that. I want to apologize to everybody. We were having so much fun. We said, you know what? What it is I... We have we purchased the the airtime for 24-hour blocks, and we had run out of time in that 24-hour block. And I said, "Well, I got nothing scheduled for the Friday 24-hour block, so here we go, baby."
Are you saying that I've just blabbed for 24 hours and I didn't even realize it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I often do that. I just start blabbing and just have no idea. 24 hours later, I'm still at it.
No. The way my licensing is set up and whatnot is it just I can broadcast on the internet for through this company because I go through a service just 2 hours per 24-hour period. And what had happened when I set it up, for some reason, I'd only set it up for an hour and a half for Thursday. I don't know what I was thinking. And so we ran out of time.
Not really an hour and a half. She's not going to want to talk to me for an hour and a half. Little did you know.
I know, right? And here we are.
You're
no,
here
it's fine.
With the blabber.
I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with that. We've had calls and there's so many people listening and whatnot. People wanted more. The people spoke, and we had no choice but to deliver. So,
damn, I'm
there
happy.
You go, ladies and gentlemen. I know, huh? This is what I'm talking about. Matter
of
fact, we have a...
You think I'm going to be able to fall asleep after this? You're crazy. No way am I going to be able to fall asleep after this. I'm going to be up talking at 4 in the morning. I'm going to be, like, shaking my husband going, get up. If I'm up, you're up.
Welcome to marriage.
And this is what I do to him, you know?
Oh, I'm sure he knew what he
was. I'll be shaking him going, I'm hot. Put on the air conditioner next to you. Because I don't feel like getting up to do it because I'm that way. Oh, yeah, there you go.
The Queen of Sheba.
Exactly.
Pass
no,
me
Diva.
Those grapes while you're at it.
The Queen of Diva. Thank you.
That's right. Denny, we got a caller. Are you ready for a call?
Who is it? I'm so ready.
I don't know, but we're just we're going just fast and furious here. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Denny.
Hi.
This is Michael Manning again.
There you
Phoenix.
Go. It's Michael Manning.
There you go. All
Michael
right.
Michael Manning.
I want
How
to
are
ask you
doing,
about...
Michael?
I'm doing well. And I'm, you know what? I'm so jazzed that you guys came back because I came in just a little bit late. And as we took the break, I thought, boy, if I'm a little late, I'm sure there's a number of other people out there that are saying, oh, I missed this opportunity. Well, now they've got this.
Well,
wonderful
Jamie, I should tell you how I know Michael Manning. Because
okay.
back in the day when I was a blogger, I think I'd mentioned to you when we were in the green room earlier that I used to blog quite religiously. I didn't do a religious blog, please. It was not religious by any
no,
stretch
really.
Of the imagination. But I was pretty good. At, you know, I started out doing it a few days a week, then sort of went down to less than 3 days a week, then 2 days a week, then once a week, like most bloggers I know. But I actually was a guest at the Blog Her Women's Blog Conference. They flew me to California to speak at the blog conference about blogging and about the community of blogging. And I kind of poo-pooed Facebook when it first started, going, I'm not going to do that. And then
I did,
then
too. I did.
Yeah, I think we all did. And then I realized, well, this is a lot more immediate. And I was spending so much time every night writing blogs and reading blogs and keeping up with blogs that it finally got to the point where it's like, I really need to play music. But Michael Manning was one of those people that he was a wonderful blogger. I don't know if he still blogs because I don't read them anymore because I'm too busy doing Facebook and Twitter. But loser. But anyway, I met Michael. We read each other's blogs and kept up, part of that blog community. We actually became friends, virtual friends. And then he was one of the few people that I actually got to meet in person when he said earlier that he came to a show. And we sort of kept in touch a little bit over the years, and I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. It's been a while. So there you are.
I understand it.
Yeah, we've been friends for 10 years. This was 2004. And Denny's actually responsible for me getting a blog, because I didn't even add a blog to my site, but I added one because of her.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw her later in Florida. This was several years ago. So that was the last time I've seen her.
Wow, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I was thinking about this, about Alone, because that came from your very first, and the CD that I'm holding right here, Bigger Is Always Better. And I've got all your CDs.
That's right.
Before, but, that's an interesting song when you're in the audience, because it was on her EP that came later. And so you hear more of you've got full band, or you've got more of the acoustic, but that gets everybody up, and it just ignites the entire venue. I mean, people are having a blast. They're dancing, they're up, they're about. And that magical experience of just what comes from the stage from Denny and come to the audience is just returned right back. And that's
what makes it such a
fun night. Yeah.
There's a good YouTube, one of my favorite YouTube clips was a live version of that. If you go onto YouTube and put Denny Bonet Alone Living Room, you'll get a cool version of that. That was a good night. It was a good night.
Very cool.
very cool.
And it's just been fun she's been fun to watch over the years with all of the projects. And the last thing I'll just add is that all of her guests are fascinating that she puts together. And it's always something fresh and new and different, but it's always inspiring. And to be able to meet an artist today is very, very rare. But what you see is what you get. And she's just a genuine girl, and I've known her a long time. And for those of you who haven't seen her, take the opportunity.
Genuine girl? As opposed to
genuine girl, down to earth. You know, what you see is what you get.
I think that might have to be the new CD, Genuine Girl.
That's right.
That might be the name of the instrumental track. We're trying to name this track. And it's like, it's almost got, the beginning of it has almost, I hate to use the hoedown feel, but it's got a real, a real fiddly thing. But then it goes into an electric rock extravaganza, of course, that I keep using that term because it makes me laugh, which anything that makes me laugh, I keep repeating. I don't know why. But anyway, Steve Gabori and I were trying to come up with a name for it. So I kind of like Genuine Girl.
Well, I don't know.
I like that.
That's good.
Well, I like when you use that term. It reminds me of Brian De Palma's the Phantom of the Paradise. You know, it's this electronic extravaganza. It's just this larger than life. That's a fantastic term. I'm looking forward to that album, actually.
I can't wait. I've put it out to various people to do different tracks, to kind of do the same thing that I guess that they did with, what's he call it? Won the Grammy. Hello. The Grammy guys.
McLevay and all?
Just won the Grammy.
I was doing a show. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
It's after midnight.
I know.
And I'm perfectly sober. Boy, this is terrible. Okay.
I could look it up. I could Google it.
No, it doesn't matter.
Way over
but
there.
Anyway, a lot of people are doing this kind of a thing where, you know, you write or you co-write or you do tracks with different people. Hello. Thank you. What am I trying to say?
Collaboration.
Thank you. How you say, I'm a genuine girl.
That's right. A genuine girl. In a rock extravaganza. A rock electro extravaganza.
Electric rock extravaganza.
There you go. That's it's almost Elton John-esque there, you know, like if you do videos for this, you have to get a fabulous jumpsuit, you know, that's just part of it with
have
French.
You, what, you, jumpsuit? I mean, seriously, what is with jumpsuits? Why would anyone
you're
wear
going
a
rock, right? You're doing
rock.
No,
what happens
rock?
If you have to pee? It's terrible. I mean, Daft Punk, hello.
With the whole the helmets and
I
everything.
I love that record. I love that record. I'm telling you. And that was a perfect Spotify example where I listened to that record over and over and over on Spotify and just said, screw this, I have to own it, and download and bought it.
Well, you know, I have the original I could send you by Marvin Gaye. I'm kidding. That's not true at all.
No, stop. No such thing.
No, that's the other one. That's the other one. I'm getting my modern pop music mixed up here. let's start the show out with a track. I want to get everybody. You want to do Bigger is Better?
You know what I think we should do since Michael keeps talking about it.
You want to do Alone?
I think you should.
I don't have it though because
oh,
I only
okay.
have.
You know
remember we were.
Oh, you know what? So no, I guess I can't send that to you, can I?
No.
Play Bigger is always better, and then the people just go look at the video. How's that?
That's what they'll have to do.
There you
yeah,
go.
Because
yeah.
Yeah. Well worth
we
it.
We only got the
okay.
On
let
this
me tell
one.
You. Let me tell you, Bigger is always better. WDST in Woodstock played
mm-hmm.
this song like continuously when it came out. This record came out it was released right after 9/11. And
I remember.
It's got a picture of me flying
right,
on top, like King Kong on the top of the Empire State Building, and it's a very happy, joyful record. But it came out at a time that it was like people, and that picture of me on the World Trade on the back
well,
of it.
Why don't we do? I do have The Girlfriends of Dorian Gray, one of my favorites. We could do that too, or we could do Bigger.
I don't care what you buy. I love all my songs. Do it. Just play. It's fun. Whatever you want.
Michael, what do you think? That's our choices here.
Go
from
for
this
it.
One, and then we'll go.
That's a great song.
Well, which Bigger is Better or The Girlfriend?
I say Bigger is always better.
Dorian
Gray.
Better.
I say Dorian Gray.
Well, now you got me all turned around.
Oh, do Dorian Gray.
There we go.
Fine. Everyone likes that one. Do that. Oh. It's a good one.
Okay, here it is. we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is, that was, I should say, The Girlfriends of Dorian Gray. I can relate to that from my younger days, I have to say. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
That's the only literary number I have. That's the only song. I always, when I play it live, I say, does anyone like to read? I'm not talking about People Magazine.
You know, when I was in art school, I used to tell people that was my grand plan, was to do Dorian Gray portraits, and if they came and saw me in 100 years and it hadn't worked, I would give them their money back. That was one of my plans I was going to do.
I'm impressed.
If they could find me.
Take mine, please. Or don't do mine. Don't take mine.
We're on the phone with, on the line, I should say, with Denny Bonet, indie singer-songwriter and electric violinist, accordion player, all-around showbiz gal. Also
lover.
Joining us, ukulele lover. There you go.
Ukulele lover. I just, during that break, I actually, not only did I open up the box, because we just moved here, for those of you who didn't hear that part, I just moved like 3 weeks ago, so I'm in the process of going through boxes and trying to find things like my underwear and socks and things, but which I just found, thank God, because, you know, I've been washing out the same six pair since I moved in. But and I will work.
It's like the Moulin Rouge there in the Upper West Side.
Woohoo! No, I am pleased. I keep them clean. The six pair are totally clean. No, now I found the rest of them. But I found the box with the printer paper. And on top of that box, I have to mention, is the... Wait a minute. No, this is weird. It is.
Uh-oh.
It's a butterfly bag.
There you go.
There it is again.
We were just talking.
A 3D butterfly bag that holds all my ukulele music. Maybe I am into butterflies. I didn't even know it.
I'm telling you, our calls from east of the Rockies will, the number for that is, I'm kidding. we are getting a little metaphysical, and that's just fine. That is just fine, folks. I wanted to tell our callers that our call-in number, join the party, live on the air, 347-850-8598. And Michael Mann's on the line with us from Tucson, Arizona also.
Well, actually, I'm in Scottsdale, which is just northeast of Phoenix.
Oh, Scottsdale. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't let that throw you.
How is it there in Scottsdale? Is it cold?
We had 78 degrees today.
You bastard.
And I'm,
that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Coming up. I knew that was coming up. I mean, as soon as I said it, I knew she would do that.
78 degrees. Oh, my God.
But I'm from the Midwest, so all of my friends are, you know, right now they're probably in 9-degree weather, if not colder.
Yeah, I know. So. I mean, I'm sure there's colder, but seriously, when you walk out of our building, we're right on the Hudson. I mean, you can't be any... Riverside Drive, you can't be any closer. And you go out there, and the wind just takes your teeth out. Seriously.
Just chills you to the bone.
To the bone.
You know, I went to college in Boston, and I don't know how we survived. You know, we'd go clubbing and stuff and be wearing T-shirts out and ass deep in snow. And it's just crazy. I have no idea how me and any of my friends even – did not get pneumonia and die. It amazes me to this day.
The alcohol.
But I guess what the mirror...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, the hooch. The hooch.
Exactly. And you know what kills me? It's like often you're walking around in New York City and you'll go past a street that has a club and it'll be, you know, 2 degrees outside or so, 10 degrees.
And
you
see the little
gals. Girls, yeah, girls with... sleeveless tops and little dresses, and you look at them and going, are you out of your friggin' mind? Didn't your mother tell you it's winter? Oh, and then I have seen a couple of people, like today, because today I barely went outside, but yesterday I was walking a dog early in the morning, walking both dogs down by the river, and this guy is wearing shorts.
Wow.
I am wearing a long parka, And underneath it, I've got, I mean, I'm such a wuss. I've got a fleece, and I have a hat that looks like a bear hat because it's got bear ears. And then I put that underneath my hood and my Uggs. And this guy is in shorts. I looked at him. I'm walking his, and he's walking his dog, and his dog is not wearing booties like mine is. And I'm looking at him going, are you out of your mind? He said, well, yeah, I really wasn't. He said, I'm going to the gym after this, and I was thinking I'd just make it easy, drop the dog back in and go right to the gym. I'm like, yeah.
As my grandfather used to say, if you just would have thought, if you just would have thought.
Yeah, and I have a line in one of my songs that says, it's not about smart. So in this case, you're going to the gym, and it's not about smart. Anyhow.
Well, I'm glad, Michael, that you're getting some good weather out there. I know Scottsdale,
yeah,
can,
is,
you can get
good.
You guys occasionally, if memory serves me right, I'm trying to remember. Somebody was always telling me it's surprising in Arizona. There was one town in Arizona. Maybe it's Tucson, I'm thinking. No, I don't think so. I think it was Scottsdale.
Flagstaff,
that's
probably
what it was. And
Flagstaff.
They said, yeah, it'll get snowy and stuff occasionally, you know.
Yeah. That's where the snowboarders go, yeah. All the snowboarders have Flagstaff. I've never done that, but they tell me it's, you know, quite nice. But that's
well,
because they get the snow.
I climbed some mountain. I think it was in Scottsdale. Would it have been Scottsdale? Do you have, like, a mountain there in Scottsdale?
Oh, everywhere. Yeah, there's South Mountain. There's all... They all have names, and I can't even
name
them
all. I climbed a mountain with Cyndi Lauper. She and
wow.
I climbed a mountain together.
Huh.
Yeah.
You just saw it
did.
And said, we got to climb that hill.
No,
what is
we got up. It was her and her assistant and myself, and we were the only ones who thought it was a good idea at the time, and we got up really early, and we climbed the mountain, and her assistant, who was like 10 years younger than us, was like running up the mountain. And at some point, Cindy and I were sitting down going, what the hell is this climbing business? Because it was steep. And then it got really hot. And then we looked at each other and it was like, this really isn't fun. It's a good thing we're staying at a spa.
Exactly.
And then climbing down was much easier, and the idea that we were going to be at a spa when we got back down. So
that's
right. Those were good days. Those were fun.
All the pampering and all of that. Yeah, I don't know if I'd be, you know, that's just, I don't know, you know. Maybe if somebody was chasing me, I might run up the mountain. other than that, you know, if there
I
was
like
a honey
nature.
Bun up there or something. I do too. I get it on channel 32 on my cable, and you know those shows, and it's quite
nice.
Well,
I'm going to be getting lots of exercise because there's to get up to the train. There's a hill, so I have to climb the hill every day to get up there. So.
That's
a hill. Get some exercise in the hill.
Now, do you have a market in the new neighborhood there, or is it for groceries
actually,
and whatnot? Or
yeah, there's a. I live very close to an area called Cabrini, and it's, I mean, we're really way uptown here, and it's like a little village. It's like all of a sudden you get off the train and you take an elevator up, and it's like you're in Montmartre. We're going back to France again. It's really lovely.
Wow.
There's some little restaurants and bars, and it's really, really cool up here. It's nice. It's much quieter.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm used to
sirens
when I. Well, you know, when I would get out of my apartment, there were three apartments in the building, and when you'd come out, I lived right next to a famous bakery, and they started the food tours right outside my door. It just so happened.
I remember that.
The food tour was supposed to be, like, outside the window of the bakery, but there were enough people that it would overflow into right in front of our door. And I'd come out, and you'd find, like, a tourist would be looking when I came out, and they'd go, what's in there? I'm like, people, lives, apartments, you know. it's, you know, but it's just It's different. It's different. It'll take a little bit of getting used to. I can't wait for it to warm up so I can see what the neighborhood's really like, because right now I don't want to leave the house, but thank goodness I don't have
what
to.
What shows are coming up, Denny, that that's one thing I wanted to ask before I go, because I know other people want to get on here, but I don't want to take all their time. But what shows do you have coming up? What do you have for the new year here?
I have immediately, I've got I'm doing a show coming up here soon with Ed Romanoff, who I mentioned earlier I went to Ireland with at the end of last year. And he's really good. Singer-songwriter, really, really good. Look him up. He's really talented.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing some shows with this guy, Mundy, who's an Irish rocker. It's going to be great fun. I love his stuff. So that's coming up. And then I've got a couple of things of my own, and mostly I'm working on the new record. So,
you know,
I'm really, really hoping that I can do some touring later on in the year.
Great.
Stuff. And, you know, I really want to do this new focus, which is the, the instrumental rock thing, because I want to rock out. And I know I keep saying it, but, you know, a lot of the people that I play with are more singer-songwriters, which I love. And I'm good at it. I love it. But I like to turn it up to 11 whenever possible. So it's fun.
I gotcha.
It's fun. So,
yeah.
Not to say that the new stuff is going to turn up to 11, but it'll, you know, maybe at least 9.5, I hope. You know,
oh, that's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, something to look forward to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, love you, Denny. I'm going to let you guys go so other people can come in and visit. But
love you,
I'll stay
too.
Tuned
Let's
in.
Let's be in touch. Stay in touch.
Yeah, we will. Okay. See you, Jamie.
Excellent.
Good to hear from
Thank you.
Michael.
Thanks for calling in. How about that? Very
Michael
cool.
Manning.
Very cool. What a nice guy.
What a nice guy. Yeah, I'm telling you, this back in the bloggy days, you know, we had this really nice community. It was like we found this little support group of people who were artistically minded, and you know, it was really nice. It was really, really nice.
Right.
I don't know what happened to a lot of these people, but like there was a guy named Bud Buckley who I used to read his blog. He read my blog, and next thing I know, I'm playing on all his records, and he's doing quite well. You know,
That's excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I was a MySpace guy. I you know, one of those guys that had, you know, just, you know, I think back now from the marketing standpoint, you know, I had a lot of followers on that, and if I could only convince them all to send me a dollar, I would have, you know, been set for the year. But that didn't really happen. I remember when you reminded me of that, when you said Facebook, you kind of turned your nose up at it a little bit. I did the same thing. I was like, what am I doing? That none of my cool friends are on Facebook. We're all here. And
When was the last time you actually went over to MySpace?
You know, I closed my MySpace down. I said, I think I don't know. I was in a weird place, and so I said I was going to do something different, kind of like go on a retreat type thing. And I closed it down. I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I could have migrated those particular people over to Facebook, but I didn't do that. Not that I have any complaints about Facebook, but it was interesting when Google Plus came out. I thought, well, it's just going to be like the end of Facebook. You know, it's the same thing going to happen. And it's interesting. I hear people, you know, that say that Google Plus is great. I haven't done anything with it, really. You know,
I signed up and have some circles. I don't know, some circly things going
how
on
they work.
There, but yeah, I mean, I seriously remember when Twitter came along and I completely poo-pooed. I didn't get it at all. I didn't understand
right.
it. I didn't get it. I didn't know how it worked. And I don't know. It happened very quickly for me that all of a sudden I just started doing it and got hooked. And, you know, I've got a lot of people. 8,000.
Well, it's definitely a new dichotomy. You know, I mean, from a marketing for the creative person, the artist, the musician, I think it's you almost have to. You know, because no matter what you're doing sales. You know, you're either selling your project, you're selling yourself, you're selling what you're creating, you know, if you want to eat. And I think people need to embrace that. I know a lot of people in the creative fields kind of are hesitant to take up the business side of things. But I think you have to. I mean, you know, you're on tour and you're going around the world, you're making records, you're doing this and that. You know, you got to buy chow for those little dogs. You've done this very well. And I think one of the ways you've done that, one of the things I'm very impressed with is your marketing ability. You seem to have embraced a lot of this successfully, you know.
Well, thank you. I do have to say that I talk to a lot of musicians who will say, yeah, I got to get a Twitter thing happening. Oh, you know, well, Facebook, or they don't have a Facebook page even, and they're out
right.
there playing. Like, I can't stress enough, you really, you know, whether you like it or not, times they are a-changing, as those folkies say. You know, you have to sort of keep up with it. And, you know, there's some people that will argue that even that Twitter is passé, but I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I do think
that's how we met.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
I have now I'm up to 18,588 people, you know, on
You're
on
doing
Twitter.
That a lot better than I am.
That's
you're doing
like
that
crazy.
A lot. But you work
and
it, though.
I can't tell you, it's so weird. When I used to play on Mountain Stage on National Public Radio, and they flew me back there to do an anniversary show recently, and it was amazing. I mean, it was remarkable to be back there and see my old friends, and I hadn't been back there in a while, and some people, I guess there were so many people that would say to me, so, what are you up to? And I'd say, well, I just got back from Ireland. Yeah, I know, I read it on Facebook. I'm like, well, if you read it on Facebook, why are you asking me what happened? I had no idea so many people actually read this stuff.
You know,
just when Doreen called earlier, that was mind-blowing. It just absolutely, I had a real, real freak out in Ireland when we went to do a radio show for Dublin City Radio, and mind you, I was there as a side person playing with Ed Romanoff and Rachel Yamagata, and they had been invited into the studio to do the radio show. So we got up, and we'd been up really late drinking Guinness the night before, you know, and we show up in the studio, and there was Seth, the cellist, and myself were there to back them, and they were doing all the talking, and we finished the interview. It went on for like a half hour, so did like three songs, and we left, and one of the DJs comes up to me and says, Danny, I just want to grab you before you leave. We've been playing your record like regularly. And of course, you know, Rachel and Ed guys looked at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, really? Like, cool. You know, great. So they said, can we interview you? And I had to, the whole crew had to wait while I then went in and did an interview. And you know me, chatty, chatty, chat. And
right.
and
well, they
it,
didn't
it was
mind,
great.
I'm sure. I'm sure everybody was cool, you know, very happy
they were,
for
they
you
were
and
very
whatnot.
Cool about it. They were very, very, very cool about it. But I was a little embarrassed. I'm like, oh, well, this wasn't my gig.
Right.
But, you know, once again, it's like the power of the internet. Who knew? You know, it was great.
Well,
and
that's
I
what
actually,
I tell people, you know. You never know, you know. You never know. Somebody, you know, could be listening in Tokyo right now, you know.
Well,
and
that's what I tell my stepdaughter. You never know, and please don't write anything, you know, on your her Twitter wall that's going to come back and bite her on the ass later.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Seriously.
And it's, you know, and
my
people,
manager has said to me many times, you know, he thinks, you know, that I am too personable, you know, that he said that, well, you know, that I don't think, he doesn't think I should write such personal things on my Facebook page or whatever, or that I let people who I really don't know be friends with me on Facebook. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not going to write anything that's so personal that it's going to get me arrested.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you know, it is what I am.
And there's even a song
about
that you wrote.
I want to get arrested. It's true. Oh, maybe you should play that one now.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's a good set.
That's off the. I know that's great.
And that's Alicia Keys' horn section. Thank you very much.
Hey, how about that? How about that?
Not kidding.
Everybody, here we go. We're playing another track. This is "I Want to Get Arrested." Denny Bonet. And that was "I Want to Get Arrested" by Denny Bonet. I like that track. Outstanding.
Why, thank you. Well, I like to say that, you know, some of my favorite people and most respected people who I honor and and really look up to have been arrested, and I've tried, and I just can't. They overlook me. They pick the next guy.
Anybody who's seen my hair can probably tell. And I grew up in Detroit, so I've been down to the Pokey once or twice with a young knucklehead, you know.
I never did.
I tell you the funniest thing. Well, this is a terrible thing, actually. Terrible, terrible. When I was 17, I was living on my own. This was in Detroit. And I witnessed, I was in a bar having a drink, go figure, right? And a guy came in and robbed the bar, shot the bartender. And I saw the whole thing. Terrible. But the police were there. This was downtown Detroit in the area they call Greektown. And the police grabbed me real quick and took me to the police station to make a statement and to describe this particular person and all of this and that. And the local news, Channel 2 News there, were filming something else having nothing to do with that. And, of course, they stopped filming about that and were filming about this robbery that had happened. And, that came on the television, breaking news. There's been a shooting, blah, blah, blah. And they show the picture of the police putting me in the police car and taking
God.
Me away.
So it looked the person?
Exactly. I get home and I've got 150 phone messages from people going, why'd you do it? Why didn't you just ask me? I would have lent you 20 bucks. What's wrong?
I'm like,
it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Oh,
that haunted me for a while. People for a long time. I remember that was. my parents saw that. It was, and of course they're out in suburbia, and it was just a big thing.
Well, I'm
glad
you were
telling these stories. It's the middle of the night. That's why. That's right.
He played the arrested tune. My dogs are being quiet. It's a beautiful thing.
How are the cats?
Yeah. Actually, they're not in here with me right now. They're
no.
No, I'm surprised. I've kind of made this my studio. I think is going to be Fifi's room.
Ah.
Get away from the other animals. My special little cat, Fifi. Everyone should have a cat named Fifi.
we have one named Juju Bee. So.
That's
and
good.
Yes,
that's
he's about what you would think. He's quite the mama's boy, let's just put it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Anyhow.
I know. So we were in the green room.
Especially if Fred Schneider was there.
Oh, where? What? Huh?
No,
what?
Go ahead.
What? Where?
I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word.
No,
we were in the green room.
We were talking about side projects. And I actually do electronic music on the side. I work in Logic, and so I have this idea for a side project. So I actually have scored a couple of movie soundtracks, and the last one that I did, I got to work with two really really talented friends of mine, Neville Farmer and Ian Hatton. And Ian used to play in the group Bonham. He's great.
Uh-huh.
And Neville has produced and written music for the BBC. They're both Brits. I have that Brit connection that always happens here.
Right.
And we did a movie called West of Thunder, and the music's amazing. It's great. I mean, and I say
West
that because those guys are so talented. And they
now, this
worked
has been
really
out
hard.
For a little while. We can.
It came out last year.
Won
some awards. Yeah, it's great.
This will probably be on Independent Film Channel or Netflix
probably.
Or some such.
Yeah,
something like that. We'll be looking for it.
West of Thunder. But on my own, I do some tracks. So I do a lot of yoga and meditation because I'm so deep, don't you know? And but that's how I keep from being a serial killer is from doing a lot of yoga. And I take these classes, and I'm thinking, this music they're using, I can do this. So I've been doing some tracks that it's either music to do yoga by or to make mad passionate love to. And you've heard of Enya?
Of course.
I'm doing Denya. So that's the kind of the running title of these tracks, which, of course,
is there a whale song involved? That's the question I have.
No, there's no whales. There's some rain sticks and stuff, and, but, I do this stuff, and I got to say, it's beautiful. It really is. And
uh-huh.
I'm putting myself down here. I'm being self-deprecating here because it really is good. But I laugh while I'm doing it.
There's a big market for that. There is a huge market for that.
You got to have the Indian guy now going, in the background. Oh, okay, I'll find a track of that, And some waves. Throw some waves in there. And and of course I can play some sappy violin over the whole thing, and I've done a few of these tracks, and people are like going, that's really beautiful. And
here's the iTunes link. And
not yet. So that's the side project. The Denya is going to come out. It probably won't be called that, but that's what we call it around the house here. It's like, hey, why don't you go work on some Denya tonight? And then of course, there's my ukulele stuff, which, of course, we've nicknamed Den Ho. Don Ho.
On a serious note, I've heard the ukulele is a – no, I am not a musician at all. I was in a Duran Duran cover band in high school simply because I had cool hair. I didn't know how to play it. They programmed everything, and they said, just stand there. That's all you got to do. the keys weren't even on the keyboard. I mean, I could touch them. Nothing would happen. I don't know. But – I've heard the ukulele is a difficult instrument, and I've heard this from some musician friends.
Who told you that?
I don't want to say who it is. It's not true?
No, I could teach you how to play ukulele in one sitting.
Wow. Well, how about
I
that?
I couldn't teach you how to play it well in one sitting, but I could teach you enough to that you could play a song and accompany yourself. Well, I've been very fortunate that the Kala Ukulele Company has endorsed me. I have some nice, really nice endorsements, and
I was seeing those on your website, and that's again another part of the business that people,
I call them up and I cry, and they give me stuff. But the ukulele thing, the ukulele thing was very cool. Richard Barone, I'll mention him again. He actually, when he was a young boy, I'm talking like 16 years old, living in Florida, he actually met and got to record Tiny Tim. And so,
really?
Tiny Tim was playing like at a Days Inn or something, I think the story went, and Richard wanted to be a record producer, and so they wouldn't let him in because he was too young. But as soon as he came out, Tiny Tim was carrying a bag full of his music, which is and a uke in the other hand, and he walked up to the kids and said, "What'd you think of my show?" And Richard said, "Well, we couldn't go in; we had to listen with our ear to the door hole." So he said, "Okay, well, come on, come to my hotel, and I'll give you a concert." So Richard said, "Can I tape you?" So over the next few days, he had cassette tapes, reel-to-reel tapes.
Wow.
Like 30 years later, Collector's Choice record label gave Richard the money to go into the magic shop and polish up all of the tapes. And they, they ran them through the grinder there and cleaned them all up. And it came out a year and a half ago or so. It's the album's called Straight Banana. What is it? Oh my God, I'm brain dead. Something about Straight Banana. Richard, I'm sorry, I'm tired. But anyway. I've never seen a straight banana. That's it. But Richard gave me like three tracks to take into my studio and overdub violin to the to Tiny Tim, and I actually got to play with the dead Tiny Tim. It was amazing. I have two monitors. And my second monitor, I put a picture of Tiny Tim so I would be playing to him. And then I played accordion on one track, and I played violin on another track. And then when we were in the studio, are you familiar with the Roaches?
Uh-huh.
So Terry Roach was in there, and myself, and we played ukulele to another track and actually sang harmony. It's a really sweet record.
I met Tiny Tim. I was sitting here thinking when you were telling me this story, I'm trying to remember. I think it was 1993, maybe 92, something like that. And believe it or not, this was in Boston. I was up in Boston at school, and we used to go to, of all things, to a goth nightclub they had up there, and he was the big show for New Year's Eve at the goth club. Tiny Tim was. I was like, oh, okay. And the goth kids were into it, man.
He won over the crowd.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Totally.
I was amazed, but I didn't record anything. I didn't have anything cool like that. I wish I would have thought of something like that. That would have been, what an opportunity.
Well, I'm telling you, Richard knows he knows everybody. I mean, the other thing, he actually did some stuff with Pete Seeger. I was lucky enough to play on a track.
Wow. Rest in peace for him. It's so sad.
I'm really
out of the blue there.
Well, not completely. He was 90.
Well,
not to be disrespectful, but no, I mean,
You're right. But, you know, I'm surprised because I went through a pretty major medical thing a couple years back, and I'm just amazed at what they can do medically. I'm surprised people don't live to be 150 years. I think it's coming.
I know. Well, my mother, you know, toward the end of her life, we called her the bionic mother, you know, because they
just
kept
replacing
her
stuff.
Back together again, you know.
Right. My dad's like that. It's got the titanium hip and, you know. And
yeah, well, I have it all planned. Not to get morbid on you. I really totally have it planned out here because when I'm at the end, if I'm, like, laying in a hospital bed and I have an intravenous tube, what I want, I put this in my will. I'm there, I'm ready. Fill it with a martini, put an olive in my mouth, call it an intravenous, and just let me go.
I love it.
I'll be happy.
I love it.
Make it a dirty martini.
Are you a purist with the martini? Is it gin or do you go the vodka? Or do you do the semi vodka martini myself? Let me ask you this. What's your opinion on all these newfangled, cotton candy vodkas and all this kind of stuff that's on the market?
Such a girl. I love them.
You love all that stuff.
You know what? I don't like the super sweet stuff. But, you know, a chocolate martini? What could be wrong with a chocolate martini? Yum. I mean, come on. Chocolate anything. Chocolate cardboard. Chocolate styrofoam. It's good. Yum. But no, the cotton candy, that's a little weird. That's a little odd. I do like the fruit ones, you know. I like the fruit vodkas. Those are good.
And the infused stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's play another track, Denny.
Oh, that's right. I play music, don't I?
That's right.
I play the music.
I'm looking through the tracks here, and I was trying to find one to with a morose mood to it. But none of your stuff fits that bill. You just don't have it, man.
I don't have sad songs. Well, Last Girl on Earth is the saddest one I've got. You don't have that one. Let's see.
Yeah, we did. Did we play it, right?
Oh, we did. Yeah. That was it. Well, it's all good.
That was last hour.
Kind of sad.
Well, we've got Stuff last, It, but the...
It's all good? That's kind of anthem-y.
Well, I like it. I'm just trying to find it now. Where are we at? Oh,
Girl Lover.
We've got the last.
Oh, play Girl Lover.
That's,
wake him up.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Yes, let's do that.
Wake
Here it
up.
Is, folks. We're waking you up. This is Girl Lover. This is off the It's All Good last year's release by Denny Bonet. Very, very good album. You should pick it up. And we have links and all that to it. Anyway, here's the track.
We're all the same.
He's a girl lover. Hunting down the girl. When he gets them in his sight, he's going for the kill.
He chases his neighbors. They say whatever, like never. Sometimes he gets them, and then he forgets them.
He's a girl lover.
Lightning or thunder, or a terrible blunder.
He's a girl lover.
Lover by Denny Bonet, our featured guest tonight here on the Pop Rocks Radio. We're on part two, hour three, I think it is. Hour four now, I guess. I don't know. We're somewhere in there.
Seven
we are
days
that cool.
later, we're still blabbing away here.
I'm telling you, we're going for the Guinness record.
I think we should. Oh. I think, Jamie, we should do that.
We should do it.
We tag, you're it. And it's like, well, stop. You talk. I have to go have more coffee.
I have to have a nap. I'll be in the corner of the ring here. Cut me, Mick. Cut me. I got to keep talking.
I got to go walk the dog, though. The dog's crossing her little legs over here.
Out in the cold.
Yeah, I'll let her on the balcony. Just go out there.
You know, I did want to tell any of our listeners that are in the colder areas. I've been saying this on every show. If you, pardon me, if you know some senior citizens, neighbors or you know, family members or what have you in this bitter cold, be sure to give a knock on their door or a ring on their phone or whatnot. Check on them. You know, pardon me. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all.
No,
and remember,
that's a great idea. That's a really great idea.
And if it's too cold for you out, don't be leaving your animals outside either. You know.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about living in New York, you know, you don't ever have to leave your apartment. You can just call Fresh Direct, have them bring your food. You know, anything you need can be delivered. Amazon. I have been ordering cat litter on Amazon.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I get my backing paper for the paintings off of Amazon. It's they had a heck of a deal on Printer Ink the other day. I'll tell you that.
I don't know.
That's where
you never have to leave your house.
I just read an article where they're going to. Well, you have to. You're in New York. I mean, and you're that has to seep into you a little bit. You know, I mean, New York's always. I know everybody's. You know. Yes, Brooklyn, everybody has a handlebar mustache, and it's, you know, and it's not 1980s Times Square, but still, every time I'm in New York, it's alive, it's moving, it fills you with energy. I like New York.
Oh, yeah. I like to say I finally found a place where I can live that I'm not a freak.
Right.
A lot of people who are freakier than me. But,
surround yourself with 11 million people, and you're...
I think that's what I'm dealing with right now, though. I'm living in an area that I'm so used to the living downtown and living around a lot of tourists and people. And, you know, I'm walking down the street and you're late for a show or something, like, get out of my way. And that's what kind of gives New Yorkers a bad name, is that people don't realize when you're visiting here, we live here. We're late. You're taking the entire sidewalk with your family. Just move over.
looking up and stop.
Yeah, looking up. Exactly. Exactly. Right. You won't see that so much up here. So.
No, but, you know, it's good, you know, and you're close enough where you can just zip on down there and, you know, there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I have a friend living in the same building. So he's on the 15th floor. My manager moved up to the 15th floor, and he likes to call my dog his god dog, so when he'll be able to walk her if I'm not around.
Well, that's pretty cool too. You've got your team there surrounding, and that's something else I always make a point of telling people, especially because we have a lot of younger listeners that tune into the show and whatnot, and. You know, one of the things, I don't care what kind of creative field you're in, having a team and positive support system around you can make all the difference in the world, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've done the full gamut. You know, I've had bands that it was a real band and everybody got together and we back before – I mean, now I don't send out any kind of postcards or whatever, but back in the day, you know, I did, and we'd have to address them all, and people would come over the house, and we were a band, and we addressed all of the postcards. Actually, I did a tour of Istanbul, of Turkey. I did two tours in Turkey, And
how cool
one,
is that?
We actually, it was very cool. We got our picture taken. We had a great band shot taken in front of some mosque somewhere. And, you know, here's the band in front of the mosque. But it was a black and white picture. And I knew this Turkish girl who had a cousin. Everyone has a cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Who could make them into postcards for us by the time we got back to by the time we got back from the end of our tour. So I'll never forget, we had like 500 postcards. We had a mailing list of about 300 names of people we wanted to make sure they got a postcard while we were gone. So we spent the better part of an afternoon sitting in a cafe somewhere writing the addresses on these postcards. And then we actually got them. It was a 24-hour post office. And she took us there. And it was so late at night by the time we finished these postcards and, you know, got around to actually getting there to mail them that we had to knock on the door and we woke up the postmaster, who came out in his pajamas. I am not making this up. He's in his pajamas. And then we had to stamp like 400 postcards. And, you know, we were a five-piece band. We're standing there with the stamps going, I think I'm going to die now. And meanwhile, the postmaster, when he realized that we were the people on the postcard, like getting us to autograph the postcards, and he put it up behind the desk and everything, and it was a wild. Then we went to an all night rave party, that dance thing that she took us to after that, and I'll never forget. They were playing music. They were playing Havana Gila, which, as you know, a Jewish girl,
right,
struck me as kind of, and you know, and we were drinking incredible amounts of Rocky,
right,
at this point.
Ouzo, and all kinds of stuff, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the Rocky, which is like
okay.
It's all the same. Every single culture has their own form of lighter fluid. That's what we like to say.
Exactly.
You got Ouzo, you got Rocky, you got, what is it, the Italian Grappa. It's
Grappa.
It's lighter fluid. It's all the same.
And you're
Germany,
right.
You got... what is that brown stuff? Oh, God. It's awful. Anyway.
I know what you're saying. The Jägermeister's closing up. Oh,
thank
my
you.
Gosh. my second marriage was based on Jägermeister.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
and
I knew it for
note,
a night, you know.
Maybe yeah. That's a good segue. I got a segue for you now.
It is.
A party.
Let's go then.
Girl party.
A party. Girl party. Now, this is featuring Fred Schneider.
Of the B-52s.
Of the B-52s. Here it is.
All dressed up on a Saturday night. Been a bitch of a week, but now I'm feeling all right. Let's party. Let's party. Paid, I got money to spend. The wine is chilling and I'm calling my friends. It started. It started. It's a girl's day. Nothing but a girl's day. Doing what we wanna do. We all know that guys do it too.
Folks, that was Denny Bonet, Girl Party, and that had Fred Schneider, the B-52s on that. Pretty cool. Pretty cool,
thank
Denny.
You.
I like that track a
thank
lot.
You.
Now,
you,
what was
you.
The, you kind of told a little bit of the story on that before. You and, I'm trying to remember now.
Richard.
Richard, that's right.
Yeah, Richard Barone.
Just got that knocked out. And then...
Well, you know, Richard had said that he was hoping we can get Fred. It was my idea because I knew that
mm-hmm.
he was friends with Richard, and Richard had worked with him before on some stuff. And I don't know. I just thought it would be funny to have him be the ringleader for the girl party, and so we basically said to him, do whatever you want, you know, come in. And so he wrote a bunch of, somewhere I have the sheet that he wrote, a bunch of stuff, but it was all kind of surly, like, I don't know why I can't go, you know, why can't I go to the party, you know. And he had some funny lines in there, but it was not really what I was thinking of for the song. You know, I was really hoping the song was going to be a little more of a party and that it would be woohoo. So while he's in there, Richard said, look, he does what he does, and then we'll make some suggestions. And so Richard said to him, do you think you could go woohoo a couple of times? Woohoo! Woohoo! You know? Can you spend, like, it's a party. Make it a party. So, you know, we were able to get enough to do that. And, you know, it's just a fun track. And I got to play the glockenspiel, which made me happy, so. Everyone
well,
gets
hey,
to play the glockenspiel once
that's
in their
life. That's right. You know, I mean, who says that? That's pretty cool.
Well,
that
when you,
needs
when you
to go
play,
on the Wikipedia
when you play
page.
Violin, when you play violin, you're not going to get to be in the marching band unless you can play something like a triangle or a glockenspiel, because there's no such thing as a strolling string in a marching band in high school. So I guess it was always my dream to play the glockenspiel.
Well, what is the reason with that? Sousa just didn't dig them, or I mean, what was the
they're
deal?
Not quite
you
loud enough to, you know.
Oh, I see.
They're a little
it's
sensitive.
Besides
that, when you're
just
marching,
shows, I'm not a musician.
You'd poke somebody's
eye.
Yeah,
but you know
out,
what?
You know?
I've seen cats with bass guitars and amplifiers hanging off of them, marching around and stuff. I watched the Macy's Day Parade.
You do really?
Yeah,
do
I've
you
seen
watch
that.
Really?
You haven't. I do. I like that kind of stuff, you know. I do. Even with my hair, I'm one of those guys that, you know, wish I would have been born in 1940, I guess.
know? Yeah, well, I do have to say, Thanksgiving morning, we always watch the dog show. That's the thing.
Oh, I see. I got
always
you. Well, because you're a doghouse.
Yeah, we're a doghouse. We are a doghouse. Just over the past, really, 10 years or so. Before that, it was – well, actually, Rosie's only 8, so the 8 years. Before that, we were a cat house. We were a cat house. Actually, I had one of my songs. Bigger is Always Better was on Cat House.
Really?
Yes, on HBO.
Right, yeah.
Not kidding. They paid me a lot of money, too. It was good.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you. So are younger people. How does that work exactly? Do you, are there people like out there, do they contact your agent? Is that how that, and they're
yes.
like, we need that
in
track
that,
on here.
Yes.
And they say, well, this is what it's going to cost. And
yep.
they say, okay.
That is exactly what happened.
Interesting.
I got contact. I had some other tracks used on, what was the name of it? It was like a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
Passions. They used a girlfriend's Dorian Gray was on Passions. It was a soap opera for a while, and it got played internationally, which was cool. But Bigger's Always Better, I think, is because it's such a special title, you know.
Right.
they found us through ASCAP.
And you do have there's a little bit of innuendo there at the end of the track. I mean, come on, Maybe I'm reading into it a little bit, but I don't think
so.
I
don't want you to know. Well, no, it's about big buildings, actually, is what
that's right.
About.
Big building. Huge. They'll explode. Yeah.
Big buildings. But it's,
see, I listened to the track. I listened to it.
Yeah.
I read the book before you came on.
Thank you.
I skimmed the Wikipedia page. I'm kidding. I studied
you read
them.
Every line.
That's right. I studied it. I wrote it. I did like you do in high school. I wrote it down on a separate piece of paper just so I would remember, you know?
I'll say I was very excited when I got the Wikipedia page.
I'm jealous.
It's not that easy to get a Wikipedia page.
No, it certainly isn't. I like Wikipedia. Everybody's always, you know, dogging it out. I shouldn't say everybody is. I am friends with probably too many snooty people that I know, and they're always like, well, you know, you can't use that as citing sources for serious discussion. I'm like, yes, you can. Just relax.
Of course you can.
It's fine. Of course you can.
I like
it's information.
To tell people who, because there's no bullshit. You know, there's nothing.
Right.
No, really.
Tells
I mean,
where they
somebody,
got the source from. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
you
there
have
you
to
go.
Prove this. You have to prove every source. And, you know, if you can't prove it or if there's no direct link to it. A very good friend of mine in England who has done some pretty major stuff got they put up a Wikipedia page and they got taken down because they apparently didn't have enough sources. And it's like, what more do you need? The guy was an MP or something, you know? It's like,
right.
I don't know. That's kind of dumb. You know, why can't you know about this?
Well, you know, some people they get. It's interesting to me how some people get so attached to an idea, and this happens in the arts too. You'll have people that not as much as I would say in like academia, where people just you know they it's like a dog with a bone. They get their teeth around something they don't want to let it go, despite whatever evidence there is. You know what I mean? It's like,
mm-hmm.
well, no, this is the way it is, and. No, it's not. I believe it's this way. And, you know, and they just, you see it on Facebook a lot. You know, like,
yes, absolutely.
You know,
well,
but
I tend to, especially
thing,
on Facebook, I don't get involved in anything controversial. And people could, you know, can scold me for that, but I really don't.
I'm trying harder daily not to. And, My girl Danny's great about it because she'll, you know, I'll start reading something and getting all worked up about it and, you know, sputtering and she's like, don't you have a painting to work on? Don't you have something productive to do than worry about what Joe Blow in Topeka, Kansas is saying about Lindsay Lohan or whatever? I'm like, you know, you're absolutely right. I really do.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think that's right on with that, you know?
I think
people,
that there are people who do it so much better. And, you know, I mean, it's not to say that I won't take a stand if I really, really believe in something, but I don't feel like I am politically informed enough. I mean, my husband is great, you know, and he's English.
Right.
You know, he's so much better at being able to cite a good argument when it comes to politics and things like that. But I don't feel like I'm well read enough that I can give a good argument. But I certainly will take a stand on things that, you know, I think are important, you know, women's rights,
right,
and gay rights and things, you know, that I believe,
yeah,
very strongly in.
I don't get that. I just posted that on Facebook the other night too. I missed seeing the State of the Union or whatever it was,
mm-hmm,
the big speech that was on. I was doing a show, and but before the show came on, I flipped the TV on, and I the president was talking about something. He had brought up women getting equal pay for equal work, and I'm like, I had no idea. I'm like, really, that's still an issue in 2000? Why is that? I mean, I'm just amazed that is an issue
yeah,
in our country.
I mean, I'm sure it's better than it was, but, you know.
I know, but my thing is, how do you support the opposing argument, the pro-argument on that? You know what I mean? There's just no logical thing to even come. I mean, you know, I'm sure everybody had a mom. They were all women. Really? You want her make it? You know, you would.
You know, the one that
I don't
got
get
me
it.
The one that got me a couple of days ago were someone had was talking about this new Disney show, which I don't know the name. Don't know the name of it, but there's you know, two gay moms, and
no,
and that's, people were like going on and on about how could Disney do such a thing,
right,
and Disney is looking at it like there are a lot of kids out there who have two moms or two dads, and they should be represented and feel like they're part of society. And what's, you know, it's like, welcome to this world.
Right.
I can't help it. I read these comments, and I get so mad when I read these comments.
The worst
people have
is when it's somebody that you know, and or you maybe know virtually, and you have, and you're just floored. You're like, really? That person? I can't believe it.
And then you say,
basic logic, man.
Do I unfriend them now?
Right.
You know, that's the big issue. Well, no, you can't. You don't unfriend,
right,
them unless they say something. You know, you're entitled
it's
to your opinion.
It's just so.
Just,
right,
stay off my wall and don't write anything controversial. You know, I actually, it was a tough one. I went to Vietnam. My
mm-hmm
father-in-law was working there a few years ago, and we went to visit him. And so while we were there, we started to Singapore, went to Saigon and Hue, and ended up in Hanoi. And
mm-hmm
this guy that I know wrote a big, long thing on my Facebook wall about, you know, about Vietnam, because he was a vet and had a hard time with the fact that I was going there on a pleasure trip. And,
right,
you know, my feeling was, don't freak me out before I leave on a big trip, you know.
Right.
Gotcha. Sorry, this is back to me again. Excuse me, I'm sorry, but, you know, and he actually called me when I got back. Like a few months later, he called me and apologized and said he was having a bad day. And, you know, I
think a lot of times that's probably what it is. I'm amazed. Everybody, it seems, that I went to high school with, I don't know if a revival tent came through town or what happened. And these are people that, you know, it's no secret, anybody who listens to the show and whatnot knows, I raised a little hell when I was younger, you know? I mean, I did. I have no regrets about that and make no apologies about it. you know, I raised hell with these people, and these people now are all, you know, very pious and very, you know, into that, and that's their, and that's fine, and I'm not putting that down by any means, and not putting them down for that. I'm just like, wow, man, I have seen, you've been on both sides of that spectrum, mm-hmm. you know, because I know all your secrets, man. I was there, right. you know. But it's just life, you know. People are going to do what they're going to do.
Mm. People change. People, you know, I guess I went to play in my old hometown last summer. Hadn't been there since I left high school.
Right.
You know, and you know, like, seriously, you know, it was nice to see most of these people. Some of them I didn't recognize, but it was nice to see most of them. And people, you're not the same people you were, God knows how many years ago, you know.
Right.
10 years ago, I'm not the same person. 5 years ago. Okay, maybe 5 years ago I'm the same. All right, I'm kind of the same person I was 5 years ago. But now I'm much better than I was 5 years ago.
Right.
Much
You're
better than I was
now.
10 years ago. Huh? I'm seasoned, yeah.
All that practice.
No,
it's playing.
Exactly. I always said that if I get jaded, if I ever get to the point where I'm just jaded about the whole thing, because, you know, I have known a lot of musicians over the years who quit. And, you know, you do it. You have to do what your heart tells you to do. You just can't continue to do something if your heart is telling you to do something else. And there's nothing wrong in doing whatever it is that you're going to do. You know, I know some people who gave it up, got a job or got a family, and you
right.
know, had to do what they had to do. You know, you do what you do, and there's no judgments.
I watched a show. It was one of these crazy cable show that I was flipping through the TV. It was late at night, and it was I don't know if she's British or I don't know what her deal is. She or where she's from. I don't know what her nationality is, but she's a hairstylist, and she goes to these beauty parlors and whatnot and whips them into shape. That's the whole premise of this show. And at 2 in the morning, I was flipping through the TV and thought this was an interesting thing to watch. Don't ask me. I'm admitting it, at least. Anyway, she made a great comment. She was talking to this guy who owned this hair salon, and, you know, he's hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and it was just, you know, and everybody's walking on him, and it's just a whole big mess. And she looked at him real serious, and she said, like any business, when you put your keys in the door, you got to love it. Otherwise, it ain't going to work. You know, you gotta be your passion, and that's all I remember that episode. But I think I fell asleep after. But the thing was, is she's right, you know. And I don't care if you're painting paintings or you're singing songs or you're going on tour with whomever. If that's your business, exactly like you're saying, you have to do it. You know, you have to. If that's your passion, you know, it seems
and
to me
to
that
do
you.
Whatever it takes to be able to do it, you know. Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I can't. It's late, and I probably shouldn't say this. I'm not a big fan of painting people's pets, but you know what? Sometimes you got to do it to so you can. I'm sure, and I tell people it's like this. At least within my business, with painting, you know, I don't remember the Beatles. I'm a little, they were a little before my time, but I'm sure if it seems to me that they had to, you know, they had to do the I Want to Hold Your Hand to get to be able to do the White Album. You know what I mean? So
right.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to support the other stuff, you know? I mean, that's just how it is. And
no, it's true. I mean, believe me, I could write a book on some of the gigs that I've had to take. The classic gig, whenever anybody asks me, like, what was one of the most awful, memorably
okay.
awfully gigs you've ever done, I would have to say it was a gig where a guy was going to be proposing to his girlfriend. And
oh, gosh.
Okay, but he wanted to propose to her in a horse and carriage, a horse and buggy
right.
and carriage.
Okay.
So I had to sit up front with driver.
The horse.
And
okay.
he was driving the horse up in the front of the carriage
right.
while he proposed to her. Now, the tricky part was it was in Long Island, and it was it had just snowed. It was freezing
right.
cold, and the horse was slipping all over the place. And
oh,
I was
man.
Trying to play, but hold on. I was afraid I was going to fall off the seat, and I had gloves with the fingers cut out, and it was just get on. And he wanted to go around the block one more time, and I'm just
right.
thinking –
You're like,
I am not going to make it. I'm really not going to make it. Propose to her already, please. I'm dying up here. So,
and
yeah,
she better
was,
say yes.
Oh, that was one of the worst. The other one was once another proposal. Mind you,
well,
I
what happened to that
one? Things.
Did he propose? How did it work out?
I guess. I don't know. I just... got off into a car, into a cab, back into the, got paid and left. I was like, get me out of here. This is, but then there was another proposal where the guy was like, I hate to say it, like young mafia. And
right, okay,
he had rented the whole upstairs of this restaurant, very nice restaurant, midtown, east
wow.
side restaurant. And it was a private dining room, and the only people in there was the girl, the guy, and me and the waiter. And she kind of talked like that, and she had
right.
on a really skimpy slip dress and incredibly large breasts. I mean, she was really skinny. They were definitely not hers.
Right.
And she had just that day graduated from college, and she had long
uh-huh.
dark hair. You get the image, right?
I am.
Had
I'm
long
seeing
dark
it.
Hair. She talked like that, and I'm playing. I'm just like I have a music stand, and I'm just playing, right? And at one point, she goes, "Do you know that anything by Beethoven? Do you know that da-da-da-da? Can you play that?" And I'm like. And, it, you know, what am I going to do? They hired me, right? So I sort of fake it. I said, well, how about some Mozart? Dum, 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 dum. You know, I'll play a little of that. So then at some point he reaches under the tablecloth and he pulls out a box. And in the box,
oh.
I swear to God, was the Hope Diamond. It was the largest thing you've ever seen. And he puts it on the table. And she starts, I'm not making this up. This girl looks up at him and goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You promised me. And she just keeps this up in this, like, shriek that apparently she knew he was going to propose, but that he thought she would wait, and this was her graduation. He surprised her. And so she just
right.
sat there, and the tears are coming. She's, ah, ah, ah. And do I keep playing or do I stop? So I kind of stopped,
right.
and I snuck out. And the waiter and I are standing there looking through the door going, what do we do? She kept it up. She was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So finally, I at some point, she let up a little bit, so I sort of walked back out. She's like, then she takes her hands, like, look at the ring! And she's showing me the ring. And it's for Hope Diamond. It's huge, right? So at that point, he surprised her with the entire family shows up. And the room
oh, wow.
is full with about, 150 people that all look like they were in the mafia. And, you know, so he comes over to me and he says, will you keep playing? I'll give you more money. So, you know, he slips me like another $200. And, okay, no one's listening to me. I'm just playing, right? So I figure,
right.
well, they're not listening to me anyway. So I start playing. I started playing. Da 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 da. Yeah, da 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 da. This is working out really well, you know. And trying to come up with the most obscure songs I could come up with just to make it through the next hour. So anyway, gigs I have done.
Oh, man.
Listen, can you play a song?
I can. I definitely can. What are we going to play next?
Well, will you play Wait and See? Because that's like one of my favorites. And it's kind of... I wrote that song. I wrote it since we were talking about issues and whatever. I wrote it, you know, when the whole Wall Street thing was going down and, you know, people I know were all losing jobs and things were getting kind of tough. And so it's kind of the answer to, for me to, once again, when things are really shitty, you write a happy-ish song. So it's got deep lyrics. There's pretty deep lyrics, but then it has an uplifting chorus. So
that's awesome. Kind of, well, here it is, folks. This is Wait and See by Denny Bonet.
Bye.
And that was Wait and See by Denny Bonet. I like that track. That's a good track.
Thank you.
Awesome track. You're right. And that is a very uplifting chorus and whatnot with that. I like that.
Thank you kindly, kind sir.
Not a problem. Not a problem, my lady. Not a problem. So it's been a fun show. We're about at that time. I don't know what we're going to do after this.
Well,
You're up.
I don't know. I'm wide awake now.
You're going to be up on Twitter and Facebook and all of that. And
Well, I've just kind of discovered on Amazon Prime, you know, you can, on your iPad, you can watch movies and things. I didn't have a television for like the longest time. And so I watched everything
on Netflix.
Such a New Yorker. Well,
right.
Yeah, time. But now got like the every channel, whatever. We've watched it twice since we got it in 3 weeks. But and of course, that's just to tape and watch Downton Abbey. I confess, we are both into it.
I'm with your husband on the Sherlock, though. I'm down
did
with
he love
that.
It? I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I watched a couple. I wasn't into it. But he loves it. He thinks it's great.
My gal Danny was the same way. She's like, she likes the Doctor Who. She loves that.
Love Doctor Who. Like, I'm so with Danny. I love her already.
She's like, she goes, the Sherlock, he's pretentious and just, she doesn't
care not like him. I totally agree with her. And, you know, again, there's a lot of people who love him. I just didn't get it. But, you know, hey, not everything is for everybody. And I say that about my
That's
music,
right.
too. It's not for everybody. I play what you play. You dance if you're able. That's the slogan.
There you go. How about that? I like
totally
that.
True.
That's awesome.
You play, dance if you're able.
So you're
going to
be watching
been...
some TV tonight.
No. I'm going to actually...
No, no.
I actually went out and I got this thing that it's called the Pillow Sonic. All right? It's the Pillow Sonic. I should get paid for this. Pillow Sonic. And it's like a pillowy thing that has two speakers and you put it under your pillow and, or, you know, or under the pillowcase. And then I have an app that is called PZZIZZZ, and it puts you to sleep. It's this guy that says, after a long day, it's time now to relax. It's time to get sleepy. You deserve a good night's sleep. And then they play this whoosh, 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 sleepy music behind it. But every time it plays, it's different. It changes.
Wow.
I don't know how it works. So it's this app that, you know, it's never the same. And I swear, I put it under my pillow and put that on my phone, you know, through the...
And you're all set.
Within probably 4 minutes, I'll be ready to go to sleep.
Sometimes
I don't even make it to, like, it's a long day and I'm gone. You know, I
myself
voice.
Am waiting for the Denya CD to come out.
I am so
going to
send you a Denya track when I get one of those done. I have a couple. You know, they're not mixed. I'll send you one. It's not mixed, but just for your own joy and amusement. You'll laugh when you hear the guy going, aye, aye, in the background. I shouldn't say that. It's terrible. It's so disrespectful. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, you know, it's 1 a.m. That's how we get. No, you know, the funny thing, it drives Danny crazy. I told you when we were off the air that I have a pet rabbit. And
now you're
she's a white rabbit.
You?
Huh?
Now you're confessing on the air.
I am. I'm confessing. Well, no, people know about my rabbit. I like my rabbit. But yeah, she's this little white rabbit. So for some reason, I got the idea that she's like an Arctic rabbit, but she's not. You know, she's like a rabbit that goes in a magician hat. You know, she's not from the frozen tundra or something. So when I was in here working, I'm like, hey, she'd probably want to listen to this. So I found one of those, you know, the nature tracks on like YouTube or something of the frozen tundra wind blowing, and I've got it on the speakers and, you know, to see what she would do.
What'd she do?
She She wasn't much impressed. I don't know if she could hear that or, you know, I don't. It's a rabbit, you know, they don't do much. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I met somebody once a long time ago who had a rabbit that was, you know, used the box. It was very trained.
I'm trying to train her now. She's when I tell her she sometimes does it, she's got a little ball and put in a cup, and she puts the ball in the cup. I think that's pretty neat. But
that's very neat.
These are the things. Yeah, these are the things I do while paint dries. Literally while paint dries. These are the things I'm doing.
Literally. Well,
literally.
I want you to do my next album cover. I think you're a great artist. I definitely want to do it,
and I appreciate that. We're gonna work it out, and yeah, that's gonna happen, man. That will happen.
Woohoo! They say.
It will. Woohoo! and yes, a hearty woohoo to that.
And you know,
well,
you actually,
we have.
Huh?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You actually wrote to me, and you said Coolio. You wrote Coolio, and I thought I was the only person who ever says Coolio. I say that all the time, Coolio.
Yeah, I do too.
From?
I, you know, I have never. I don't think I realized I say that all the time until you brought it up. But I do, and I'm somewhat embarrassed that I would put that in an email to somebody I didn't know.
Hey, it won me over.
Yeah, because I saw that.
I'm like, this is my guy. We're here.
I am so happy, you know, and I'm so happy. This is this whole month. I just finished booking this month, and the whole month's booked, man. I'm very pleased with that, and it's just all these great guests coming up. And we started out with you, and it's just this is very cool. It's gonna be a good month.
Thank you for reaching out, and you know, it's been great. It's been a party tonight.
it has, and we've had a good time, and it's been wonderful.
And it's
we
it's
got
the longest
time,
I have
Denny.
Gotten to sit down on my couch. I love this. I got a brand new couch in my studio. I've never sat in it. It's great.
That's awesome. Now, see, I'm kind of jealous because in mine, I don't have a. It's not even a real couch. It's a futon in case company comes. Nobody's going to want to sleep in here. There's paint everywhere and camera, but it's here. You actually got – is it a couch or did you get – I envision this velvet kind of chaise lounge Victorian.
No. This room's getting – looking quite civilized, actually. It's I actually have – it's a couch that will fold out into a double bed.
There you go.
Queen, double, double.
In case company comes. There you go.
In case company – yeah, but this apartment has two bathrooms, so you can have your own bathroom. Come on over. It's great.
There you go.
You all.
It's a party.
It's a party. Want to get up in the middle of the night, record some Denya, knock yourself. It's the studio desk.
There
couch.
You go. Two monitors. Man, we're all set. It's like, you know, Abbey Road Studios or something.
It's the microphones and things and headphones. It's got all of it. I do have to get a rug. That's the only thing I have to get is a rug. You know, because it's hardwood floors. But I'm afraid that I don't want to make too much noise. I mean, the minute I get the rug, I'm pulling out the accordion. That's happening, you know.
The accordion and those blue shoes from the video.
Exactly. I love my accordion.
That's right. Now, we're almost out of time. What song should we – we're not going to play my crazy weird music that we normally close the show out with tonight. I want to play a final track from Denny Bonet to close the show. What should we go with, Denny?
Well, I can go either way here on this.
Okay.
I think probably you should do the title track of the record.
Do you have time to do it?
It's all good?
Yeah, we do. We do. We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Let's do it. Speaking of ukuleles.
Everyone, have a great night. Stay warm and be safe. This is Denny Bonet. It's all good. Check out her website and I'll add her on Twitter and Facebook and all of that. There's links up. And thanks for tuning in. And Thanks for listening to the podcast, The People in the Future. Here it is.
Thanks for having
Annie Bonet.
Me.
Oh, anytime. We can't wait to have you back.
Thank you.
Have a great night, everybody. See you on Tuesday. Got a great show lined up for you. Good night.